You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
February the 7th, 2020, it is not over. It is not over. Libs are gearing up again to go after Trump, trying to find something they can impeach him on, something to take him out of office before 2020 and even take him out after he wins 2020. Coming up, you're going to hear some of those libs discussing what they expect to find and how they are wanting Americans, you, to help them prove their case that Trump is guilty of everything. Well, Trump just got another victory. A federal appeals court just a few moments ago unanimously ruling that more than 200 Democrat congressional lawmakers do not have standing to sue President Trump over allegations he violated the Emoluments Clause. That is involving any payments to his businesses. The Court of Appeals says we conclude members lack standing. We reverse the district court, remand with instructions to dismiss their complaint. Of course, they thought the Emoluments Clause would be a chance to catch Trump in violation of Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution, that anyone holding a position cannot use his power and position to make money. And of course, since he has so many properties, they thought, well, that's one way we could get him. No. And in the meantime, while they're doing all of this, Trump continues working for Americans. The jobs number, amazing. U.S. hiring topped expectations in January, the economy adding 225,000 jobs, kicking off the decade on a much stronger than expected note. This is the 112th month of straight gains. Our unemployment did tick up slightly to 3.6% as more start to look for work. But again, right now the labor market is filled and we need more people working. What Trump has done in the midst of all of this is expose the mainstream media for their lies, their fake news, and everything else they try to push past you. And of course, many on the left, they are saints, as you know. They are saints. And they are so mortified by Trump's language the other day, yesterday, in the East Room of the White House, and some of the things he said, the words, the coarse words, barnyard language words he used, mortified them. They don't like his salty language. Well, we'll revisit that and also take a look at some former presidents, Democrats, and their salty language. Of course, this is a different time. It's a different time in so many different ways, but especially because it's Donald Trump. That's the main point. And if you don't like salty language, I would tell you, you might want to not listen as intently as you normally would, coming up a little bit later in the program. And also, before we're finished today, we're going to tell you about this latest Democrat debate coming on tonight. Michael Bloomberg is not on the stage for this one, but he's being accused of cheating to get on the stage on the next one coming up. And yes, they have changed the rules just for Bloomberg. He has basically bought his way onto the debate stage, and the other Democrats are crying foul. New York laws, you know, changed recently. All kinds of bail restrictions wiped out. Everything that a judge could do to hold somebody in jail wiped out. And it appears even to the extent of allowing those defendants, I should say those witnesses, to have witness protection, to have them unveiled. And it appears at least one key witness in a murder trial has been killed by the MS-13 gangs. TSA agent convincing a woman, you can't go through unless you show me your breast. True story. We'll tell you about that. Oh, this is a true story. Democrats were there the other day as Rush Limbaugh in the White House got his Medal of Honor from the president. Of course, his Medal of Freedom. Of course, it's presented actually during the Union, State of the Union address. But Democrats were asked, do you want to come over and honor someone battling stage 4 cancer? And now Speaker Nancy Pelosi and a bunch of them rushed over. They thought he was going to talk about honoring Democrat Congressman John Lewis. And look at their face of surprise when it turns out Rush Limbaugh is in the room. Ha! Faked him out. I would have loved to have been there and watched that directly. We've got a lot to cover for you for the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer and can save you a lot of unnecessary fear. One client called frantic. A test sample for an indoor swimming pool showed evidence of Legionella bacteria. Well, that meant the entire pool would have to be drained, then washed with acid. But Wellington Environmental found the pool was safe. The test sample was a false positive. In another case, a homeowner said a buyer had just backed out of a closing. The building inspector claimed he had found evidence of mold in a closet. That could be scary. Could certainly cost the deal. Wellington Environmental found it was not mold. It was traces of asphalt from the wheels of a suitcase. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality and lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Of course, he hasn't learned the lesson because, as we repeatedly pointed out throughout the trial, Donald Trump is a serial solicitor as it relates to trying to solicit foreign interference in our elections.
Congressman Hakeem Jeffries. He was one of the members of the House prosecution team trying to convict Donald Trump on impeachable lies. Lies that you would have obstruction of Congress to be an impeachable offense? Wrong. Lying that you could impeach him for abuse of power? Wrong. And, of course, in the end, when the vote was taken, right down along party lines, except for Mitt Romney, GOP Senator Mitt Romney of Utah decided to vote to find Trump guilty on one of the charges. The fact that he found him guilty on any charge, it makes no difference which one. Both of them are lies when it came to trying to find something that would hold up inside the Constitution. But they're not giving up. Rest assured, the libs are not giving up. And as you just heard Congressman Jeffries say, we're convinced Donald Trump is a serial habitual type criminal. I'll let you hear more from him in a moment. But the Senate impeachment trial of President Trump ended with an acquittal. And of course, yesterday, the president was delivering remarks of celebration with supporters at his White House meeting in the East Room, declaring, I've been vindicated. All of this proves I did nothing wrong. Well, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer dismissing the fact that it was an acquittal and says it is, quote, virtually valueless and is a result of one of the largest cover-ups in the history of our nation. And again, remarks from numerous House Democrats show they're still looking for more information they can use against the president. Now, there's one matter that could result in some new developments. We're waiting to see what happens. The House Judiciary Committee trying to find out if it can compel the testimony of former White House counsel Don McGahn. That might be decided before the day's over. Here's their approach on this one. The committee is convinced in their way of thinking that this might add another impeachment article they could file against President Trump, because they want to hear from McGahn. Even though it's already been voted on impeachment and he's been acquitted, in this case, there is no such thing as double jeopardy. It's not like you being charged with any kind of crime and they can't prove it. You're found innocent. It's all over with. And then after they come up with that verdict, suddenly they seem to have some new information and they want to bring you back to court to try you on the same thing again. They can't do it. It's double jeopardy. There is no such restriction when it comes to impeaching the president. So they believe that if they had some testimony from McGahn, it might lead to new articles of impeachment, or could be used in some other trial they'll try to put together. The White House, of course, has stated executive privilege to keep McGahn from supplying any documents and testimony to investigators. But they still think there's something here. So they filed their case and continue to push forward. Now, could it happen later today? We'll see. But keep in mind, right now, the way it stands, this president, despite all their efforts, despite the Russian collusion investigation, despite all this time on Zelensky in Ukraine, and despite everything else they have tried to shackle this president with, he's continued to do the people's work. I just told you how the numbers for jobs are just up more than expected. More people getting jobs than were expected. But these guys, they're just filled with so much bile, toxics, that they've got to find a way to release it. And the only way they can see to release it is to get rid of Donald Trump. And they insist he is not vindicated. So let's go back to some of the words and let you hear from them directly. Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, part of the prosecution group that went after Donald Trump, trying to prove their impeachment case before the Senate. And as you listen to him, you can hear the wheels are already turning for something new they will try.
Donald Trump is a serial solicitor as it relates to trying to solicit foreign interference in our elections. He solicited foreign interference from the Russians. He solicited foreign interference from the Chinese. At the heart of this scandal is that he tried to solicit foreign interference from the Ukrainians to pressure an American citizen, Joe Biden, to elevate his own personal political gain as part of an effort to cheat in an upcoming election. And absent any consequences to the extent that he perceives the acquittal as an exoneration, it's a fake exoneration. But to the extent that the president perceives it as vindication of his bad behavior, his constitutional crime, his wrongdoing, then there is reason to believe that he will endeavor to do it again.
And
one of our responsibilities, you know, moving forward is going to be as the watchguards of that investigation. But we're also going to have to rely on the American people.
The American people. They want you to be the stool pigeons for you to call in and say, oh, I see Trump doing something bad here. I want to play the beginning of that soundbite again from Congressman Jeffries, because he's going to start listing the things that Trump is guilty of, and he'll try it again. I'm not going to hear all of it, but I want you just to begin to listen as he tries to lay out for you. Trump did this, he did this, and did that. Just listen, please.
Donald Trump is a serial solicitor as it relates to trying to solicit foreign interference in our elections. He solicited
Wrong.
Foreign interference from the Russians.
Wrong.
He solicited foreign interference from the Chinese.
Wrong. No, that's enough. He didn't prove any of that. That was your whole point. You're trying to prove it, and you proved nothing. There is no such proof. But they just simply sit there and open their mouths on their mainstream media outlet, CNN, NNN, and the rest of them, and no one challenges them. No one says, well, wait a minute. Where do you have the proof that any of that got done? Any of it? Well, that's why we were impeaching him in the Senate. Yeah, but you didn't prove anything, did you? That's why we had the Mueller investigation. But you didn't prove anything there either, did you? No. Well, see, but we're going to continue. And another member of that prosecution team, Congresswoman Val Demings of Florida, she's sharpening her knives as well.
The best indicator of future performance is to look at past performance. I call Donald Trump a habitual offender. He was in Florida during the campaign when he said, Russia, if you're listening. And obviously they were. And then the day after, as has been indicated, the day after the special counsel testified on the Hill, the president's on the phone, inviting another foreign power to interfere in our election. And then when he's caught, he goes to the microphone and doubles down and invites China and reminds Ukraine that, yeah, you should investigate the Bidens. We have no reason to believe that this president has learned anything. If he had, perhaps he would have began the State of the Union address the other night by apologizing to the American people that, you know, what he did was wrong and he's regretful for it. We haven't heard that.
And you're not going to, because he has not been wrong. You haven't proven anything. They love going back to the fact, oh, yeah, Trump was down there and all these emails that Hillary had, and supposedly they were destroyed, 30,000 of them. And he said, oh, Russia, if you're listening, if you can get those extra emails, we'd like to have them. As if they were taking that as a direct plea for Russia to step in and destroy Hillary Clinton. Give me a break. Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, has already said, look, in the coming weeks, the Senate Judiciary Committee is going to start digging into some of the stuff the House tried to push onto us. And in fact, when we do, we're going to look at the anonymous whistleblower that started all of this. And we are going to look at Hunter Biden's dealings with Ukraine and the energy company. And the potential conflict of interest with former Vice President Joe Biden. Democrats, if you're looking for some impeachable offense, some act of treason, high crimes and misdemeanor, take a look at those things. There'll be more proof there easily found than what you've been trying to manufacture against the current president. And, of course, you got House Speaker Nancy Pelosi with her little stunt the other day, tearing up a copy of the State of the Union address. Well, Congresswoman Kay Granger, Republican of Texas, I love this, slamming Pelosi's behavior, quote, as a breach of decorum and degraded the proceedings of the joint session to the discredit of the House. That resolution was introduced by her in the House. Let me see now, who controls the House? That would be the Democrats. And Congressman Kay Granger of Texas is a Republican. And she said we should file a resolution against Pelosi as a breach of decorum and degrading the proceedings of the joint session. And what did the House do? The House voted to table the measure, never to be seen again, to table the measure. But as I told you the other day, that video of her standing back there ripping that speech apart, ripping apart a speech where she says filled with nothing but lies, parts of that speech praising a Tuskegee Airman and his great-great-grandson, praising a fourth-grade young woman who is now going to have a chance, a girl, to have a chance to go to a private school or a school of her choice, get a better education, praising a family who's lost a loved one, and praising a family that the soldier came home to see his family thinking that he was not going to be able to see them for a long time, and praising others. And she ripped it all up because it's filled with lies. Have you seen anyone ask her, what lie? Where was a lie? Give me what lie? What lie? Nope, they don't do that in the mainstream media. We got another congressman, a Republican, who says, you know, so the Democrats have gone through all this, and they want to insist that this impeachment is going to live forever because they filed impeachment. They did not get a conviction, but it's going to live forever. He's got an idea, which I think bears some closer look and, in fact, should reassure you or should reemphasize how important it is that we don't just win the White House again this 2020, and we don't just hold or add to the Senate, but we win the House. We'll explain.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So, White House Speaker, the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi continues to insist President Trump will remain impeached forever, despite his acquittal at the Senate trial, because he was impeached by the House, and it goes to the Senate for the actual trial, but then he was found innocent, not guilty, cleared of all charges, vindicated. But she says, yeah, but we did impeach him, and that's going to be with him forever. And Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat in New York, said, written next to the president's name will be a permanent asterisk showing that, yes, he was impeached. Well, now, let's take a closer look at that. And in fact, Congressman Chip Roy, I like that name, Chip Roy. He is from Texas. No surprise there, right? Chip. He says, you know, there's some irony going on here because what they've done is galvanize Trump supporters and Trump's base and others that might not have been big Trump supporters, but watching what the Democrats have been doing, ironically, they have probably built a bigger base for Trump for this next election. And therefore, not just in the race for the White House, but the Senate races and the House races, and therein lies an answer. Please listen.
I think that the irony is that the American people are almost certainly going to give control of the House of Representatives back to Republicans precisely because my Democrat colleagues have been tilting at windmills and wasting the time of the American people, refusing to acknowledge a crisis at the border and spending the last 6 months pursuing this failed impeachment effort. I think the asterisk is the one that's going to be hanging over the heads of Democrats. I think it is the scarlet letter that Speaker Pelosi so desperately wanted to tag to President Trump that is going to be tagged to her and to Democrats who really failed to do the work of the American people, and instead were so caught up in hatred of the president that they were wasting the time of the American people instead of doing the work that they sent us here to do. So I think that's what's going to be the real history, is the asterisk over the Democratic Party. And honestly, when we're back in charge, we can have a vote. We can have a resolution that would seek to expunge the impeachment. I don't know if it'll carry any legal weight, but we can send a loud message when we come back in that this was a political partisan effort, and then get busy. We can do that in the first day, and then get busy doing the job the American people want us to do.
That'd be perfect. If the Republicans get control of the House, quickly pass a resolution to expunge the impeachment presented by the House when controlled by the Democrats. There is case history. He said he's not too sure what kind of weight it would carry. Well, there is precedent. The House voted in 1837 to expunge a censure of President Andrew Jackson. So it's certainly possible. In fact, Texas Republican Louis Gohmert said, there is precedent, and I think ultimately, with all the things that are going to be coming out in the months ahead, it's going to be all the more appropriate. That's going to be great. And then that scarlet letter will be put on Nancy and all of the others, of course. We mentioned the Hunter Biden thing. I don't have time to get into it before we go to the break, but I'll tell you this. The GOP issued an inquiry to the Treasury for documents. Treasury is now complying. I'll get into some details for you. And also, another Democrat debate tonight. And the Iowa caucus supposedly all over, but they're calling for the head of Ron Perez of the DNC.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So very quickly, to bring you up to speed on what the Treasury is doing, reference a GOP Senate inquiry regarding Hunter Biden, the Treasury Department is complying. The Senate looking into Hunter Biden's business dealings in Ukraine and will now hand over highly sensitive financial records and, quote, evidence of questionable origin. Biden, of course, the son of former Vice President Joe Biden, has been an easy target in the midst of all this claims of cronyism that the Republicans have been involved in, and quid pro quo and whatever else you want to label it. Biden getting this $50,000 a month job, $50,000 a month job with Burisma Holdings while his father was serving under then President Obama, and his father was in charge of releasing any money the U.S. wanted to allow Ukraine to have. If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck. Yeah, it's a duck. So now, Senator Charles Grassley, Republican of Iowa, is going to start looking a lot closer. And they want financial records. And they're going to take a look at his travel while under U.S. Secret Service protection. Oh, I'm glad. It's going to be good. Hey, the Iowa, oh my God, do you really still care about it? The Iowa State Democrat Party and their caucus is done. It's over. They finally declared Senator Bernie Sanders had the most votes, but former South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg had the most state delegate equivalents. You understand that? Bottom line is they're each taking the same number of delegates from Iowa to the Democrat National Convention. Sanders and Buttigieg. Not Biden, not Warren. Those two are taking those big numbers. But it has been a mess. The chaos. Delaying getting the numbers out. And here came Tom Perez, the Democrat National Committee chairman, calling them out and saying, enough is enough. We're going to re-canvass everything. And now the Democrats are saying, why don't we start by re-canvassing Perez, like canceling him out? I love it. Food fight with the Democrats. Perez is trying to throw everybody under the bus but himself. And they're saying, hey, where were you? Where were you? Well, I was sitting in my office, you know. There is, as if you really care, and I want you to care because of what I'm going to explain in a moment. There is another Democrat debate tonight. They're on to New Hampshire. They are going to have a Democrat debate ahead of the New Hampshire primary election. ABC News will be hosting this 8th Democrat primary. It's going to include, and they've been selected in podium order based on a drawing or whatever, entrepreneur Andrew Yang, Buttigieg will be on there, Sanders, Biden, Warren, Klobuchar, and businessman Tom Steyer. No, Bloomberg is not on there. But hold that thought. We'll come back to it. So those candidates will be appearing. Let me see. That's 7 candidates. Yang is as close as you could get to someone who might be considered a minority. The rest are all white. And 2 of the women, Warren and Klobuchar. And Steyer and Yang have a lot of money. Biden might have a lot, too, that we don't know about it. Sanders has a lot. Buttigieg, we'll see. Here's what they did to come up with who got on the stage for this thing tonight. See, they've had qualifying conditions to be on any of these debates. And the path was at first a 4-poll threshold. Candidates had to get at least a 5% support in 4 national polls conducted in New Hampshire, Nevada, and or South Carolina. And the second path was an early state polling threshold. Candidates had to get at least 7% of polls conducted in New Hampshire, Nevada, or South Carolina. In other words, they were still looking at polling. They're looking at how much money they could raise. They had to accrue at least 225,000 individual donors. Had to have a minimum of 1,000 unique donors per state in at least 20 states. All of this kept them on the stage, to get them on the stage. That was the whole idea, that you won't get on the stage unless you've earned it. Well, Michael Bloomberg is not on the stage tonight. He did not earn it the whole hard-fashioned way these other candidates did, but he has earned it in another way, and he is getting things changed. And the others are getting extremely upset. The Democrat National Committee, headed up, as I just said a moment ago, at least for now, by Tom Perez, they are now overhauling debate requirements and going to eliminate the donor threshold going forward from tonight's debate. That's right. After tonight, they're no longer going to care about those thresholds of the polling. Bloomberg wasn't even in the race on some of those polling events. And when it comes to individual contributions, that you need something like 1,000 unique donors per state, or at least 225,000 individual donors, Bloomberg don't need your stinking money. He's the 8th richest man in the world. He can buy his way onto the debate stage, and that's exactly what he's done. But the DNC is trying to put the proper spin on it. Here's their statement. Now that the grassroots support is actually captured in real voting, the criteria will no longer require a donor threshold. Because Bloomberg wasn't even part of it at that point.
He could not have qualified based on what he's done anyway. Now they're saying the donor threshold was appropriate for the opening stages of the race when candidates were building their organizations and there were no metrics available outside of polling to distinguish those making progress from those who weren't. By metrics, does she mean cash? No, I don't think she means that. But Bloomberg has not cleared any of the polling thresholds. And four slated, Buttigieg, Klobuchar, Yang, and Steyer, had not hit some of the new polling thresholds. But what Bloomberg is doing is buying his way onto the stage, and that means the others are probably going to get to stay anyway going forward. Senator Warren and others, that would include Sanders, very, very upset, and I think rightly so. Let me see. Here's a statement that came from, is this from Elizabeth Warren? I think it's from Warren. I wish I could verify it. Basically, we have been, I can't find the source, so I'm not going to quote it. I don't want to give you anything false. I try not to. But anyway, he's not going to be on the stage tonight. So what can you expect out of this thing tonight? We have not seen Sanders really show a big voter turnout that he was forecasting. I mean, when you look at Iowa, despite the chaos and the problems going back and forth with him, there really was not a big turnout in Iowa. There's no enthusiasm. None of these candidates can pull the enthusiasm. None of them. But tonight, seven of them will try once again to win over a national audience for those who are going to be watching. And of course, they'll have to probably deal to some extent with Iowa and what they thought went wrong and if they got cheated or whatever. We'll find out if they get into that. Warren, of course, running up to the Iowa caucuses, was trying to say, we need to unify, and I could do that. I can bring everybody together. Well, she didn't for her own campaign, not in Iowa. And then, of course, beyond the battles between Sanders and Buttigieg and Warren, what are they going to accomplish with this thing this evening? And maybe the biggest test is going to be for Joe Biden. He has now admitted, finally, that Iowa was a gut punch. And he's probably not going to do very well in New Hampshire anyway. He has been getting so far left, trying to keep up with the lefties, he's lost his footing numerous times. And I'm glad to see it, because here's a guy that's willing to sell out. Totally sell out if I could just get your vote. This could be really bad for Biden when it's over with. He may get up there and look nice and calm and not misspeak. But Bloomberg hasn't hit the stage yet. Big question for Sanders tonight. Can he actually show that he can make this a two-man, two-person race going forward to cut all the rest of them out before Bloomberg can get on the stage? And some are saying that Buttigieg, who did well in Iowa, had invested heavily in that area, but now comes some real tests. New Hampshire, Nevada, South Carolina, and beyond. So they're betting the farm on these debates tonight. You don't have to bother watching it. We'll give you clips as you need them. We'll maybe use some of them next week. We'll take a break. When we come back, I want you to hear the story of police being called because of what a six-year-old girl did in class. A six-year-old. Please stand by.
We'll be right back.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Bulletin, bulletin, bulletin. Put the word out to all meth users. If you're looking for a place to go and be treated properly and have accommodations where you can kind of sober up from time to time, bulletin, bulletin, bulletin. Go to San Fran S.O. They have decided to come up with a 24-hour center that will take folks who are dealing with a psychosis induced by meth to help them get off the street. If you're high, we'll get you off the street. We'll put you in a tent. Each tent will have 15 beds. We don't know yet how many tents are going to open up, but they're going to have them. They're going to need them. They're going to need a lot of them. A lot of them. They want to help people come down from drug highs. That's nice. But what it's also going to do is increase the traffic of meth high people on the streets of San Francisco. So they can go there and, where's my tent? Where's my bed? Well, I get off my high here. And then when I get treated, oh, I know, you want me then to go to some kind of a thing to help me get clean? I'll see you the next time I get high. This is what they're doing. They're absolutely doing that. And listen, anybody who's hooked on meth, I feel for you, but I think you probably walked yourself into that path. They have paranoia, hallucinations. But the other thing is, for those of us not on meth, you encounter one of these people, they can behave aggressively. You don't know what they're going to do next. So this is a safety issue for everyone in San Francisco. And if you're going there to visit, you might be a victim of a meth-induced psychosis. Maybe don't go near the tents. Or maybe at the tents it'd be safer. This story is one of these that I keep shaking my head over. This is in Pennsylvania. A six-year-old girl didn't like something her teacher was doing, and she was so frustrated she gestured like creating a finger gun with her thumb and a finger, or maybe two fingers, kind of aiming at her teacher saying, I shoot you, a six-year-old. She didn't have a gun. She obviously couldn't do anything, but they were going to deal with it in the class, take her to the principal and talk, and which is a good start. But then some wackadoodle decided, let's call the cops. So they call the cops, and they come in, and it's obvious this is a six-year-old. She didn't really know what she was doing and what she meant. She had no idea. And if you want to add another dimension, which you shouldn't have to, the child has Down syndrome. But now the cops are involved. So now a report has got to be filled out, and the child's name goes on an official police report. Did she know what she meant at all when she kind of made up a gun with her fingers and thumb and points it at the teacher and says, I shoot you? Do any six-year-olds really understand that, much less one with Down syndrome? Parents obviously extremely upset. Couldn't you just handle this right there? Just call us. We'll come talk to her and say, you don't do that, so forth and so on. Kind of use it as a teaching opportunity as opposed to a law enforcement opportunity to bring in police. And I'm sure the police, they didn't like getting involved either, but when you're caught, you can't totally ignore it, and you might not want to do anything else, but you got to make the report on it. If you don't, someone will be saying down the road, yeah, but you guys are covering up because it is a white child, isn't it? Everybody gets caught in this thing. And then there's a first grader in Pennsylvania that accidentally took a toy gun to school, an actual object, not just making one with his finger and thumb. He realized he had it at school, and he knows there's some kind of rule about that. He's a first grader, so he goes up and says, teacher, I got this thing. I forgot to bring it. And they suspend the kid for a toy gun. Remember when the child was taking a Pop-Tart and eating it in such a way that it ends up looking like a pistol? That child got suspended. Remember that story some years ago? I thought we would have learned by now that you deal with these kids in a different way. These kids at this age, the adults aren't learning, that's for sure. All right, coming up in the next hour, the salty language of President Trump has just mortified the high morale of the Democrat libs. We're going to get into that, as they are so upset, saying he was unhinged in his victory speech. And even Hillary Clinton is weighing in. Oh, you got to hear this. You got to hear this. And we'll also take a look at other presidents and how they have used salty language. And then these New York rules that they passed a while back, they could be directly attributable to getting a witness in a murder trial killed because the folks on trial got to learn who the witness was. And then there's a proposal, including Ocasio-Cortez and others signing on to it. If illegals are arrested and shipped out of the country, even for crimes, they can apply to come back. They can come back. Please stay with us.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.